Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. Mike next to Johnny, and this is going to be a fun one, I promise you. So our goal today, me and Johnny, is to offend every reseller that is listening or watching over on YouTube in this podcast. So how are we going to go about doing this? We're going to talk about things we believe in and do in our business that kind of got us to this point. But maybe the majority of resellers, maybe you listening, think we are crazy and moronic for some of these hot takes that are incoming. So I won't make Johnny go first and offend all 99.9% of you. I want to go first and kind of throw the big one out there first. A lot of people sell media that listen to this. A lot of people are eBay sellers. If you sell barcode media on eBay, you are a fool and you are wasting your time. You might as well just go buy a hot dog stand and sell hot dogs on the corner, because Amazon is far superior when it comes to platform and price and productivity and processing power when it comes to barcode media. And I know a lot of you out there sell barcode media on eBay, but I'm here to tell you, there's a way better way to do it. And if you're doing it today, I would literally just stop today, start my Amazon account today, and work on migrating out of eBay barcodes into Amazon FBA, where you pay higher fees, but there's really no legwork involved besides boxing your items. So off to the races. Let's hear what you got on the plate.
You need to stop chasing nickels when you could just move on to dollars. And basically, this comes down to when you're sourcing or paying up, especially in sourcing. It's okay to pay up if you're paying $20 to get a $100 bill. Instead of going to the $2 clearance aisle to never even look at that item because it's over there in the real price retail section, you're wrong. You should pay your $20 to get a $100 bill. Absolutely. Also, if you buy an abundance of inventory and you're looking at the pile that's left over that can't go to Amazon, can't go to eBay, and you're trying to figure out how to make a Frankenstein lot to sell on probably eBay, you're wrong. You should get rid of that somehow, some way. Either you have a friend that deals in that kind of stuff, or there's the dump, or there's redonating it to a place you don't source from. So stop chasing nickels. Go for the dollars.
I guess I'm kind of picking on the eBay people here off the rip, but if you have handling time over 2 days on eBay, you are a fool. We live in a world where people want things yesterday. Many large cities Amazon operates in, and if I wanted to go buy, say, you know, a little graphics card here, Amazon will say, get it today. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, it's 3 p.m. How am I going to get it today? We live in a world of people want things now. This idea, you're part-time. Why can't you go pack an item within 2 days? And I don't want to, I work full-time, blah, blah, blah. Well, then you don't want to be a reseller, honestly. I'm not buying something unless it's like a custom item, right? Like there's certain, you know, people sell custom things out there on the internet. It's personalized. If you're just reselling and you're handling times over 2 days, I don't want to hear no excuses. I personally will not buy from somebody whose handling time is that long, because when I buy something, Johnny, what do you know? I actually want the item to get to me in a reasonable time. It's crazy to me that we have 5-day handling, even 3-day handling. We live in a world where it's instantaneous. Why do we have such slow handling times?
Stop trying to skirt one over the customer. And what I mean by that is, if you know there's a abundant flaw with the item you're trying to sell, either in Amazon or list on eBay, and you don't think they will notice, I promise you they will notice. And then you have a customer service nightmare and or a return, and you're out money anyway. Either disclose the information or don't list the item in the first place. People notice. People, these are your customers. They buy from you. You may never have another interaction with them, but you want to keep their money on the interaction. We're in this to make money. So pay attention to what you're listing and what you're putting in the box. If it's got cover creasing, that's fine. They can tell that. But if it's burned on the back cover and you don't show a photo of that burned side of the book in your photos on eBay, or you think they won't notice when you put it in the box in Amazon, you're wrong.
I got another good one here. Coming for the eBay world yet again. I don't know what it is, but I promise I got plenty for Amazon sellers. Free returns, all for them. People expect free returns, no hassle free returns. It has to be a part of your business. Not everybody is a scammer. Can we get over the, if you're a reseller that thinks every return is a scam, this business ain't for you. It's time to move on. And if you're a reseller who doesn't account for returns within the business, it's time for you to move on. Free returns is the only way. I'm not buying something that says no returns because you know what that says to me as a buyer? The seller's trying to scam me, Johnny, because why don't they offer, you know, free returns on the item? Why can't I return this if it doesn't, you know, work or fit into the item or, you know, whatever it may be? This, oh my God, this drives me nuts. Everybody's a scammer out there, Johnny, whenever there's a single return. And God forbid the $30 you got for your item, you got to give it back to the customer because there was something wrong with the item. They're an automatic scammer. And you know, you just lose your mind over $30. That's a part of doing business. All businesses have a shrink category. Any business in the world where they say, all right, we're going to write off X amount of dollars every single month, every single quarter, every single year. And it's just a loss. There's nothing we can do about it. Sure, can we try to reduce it? Maybe by the category we sell in, the items we're selling. But people get all beat up about it. If you're that person, this is not for you.
Okay, next round we're going to do a silly one, but I'll give the serious one since it's my turn. So, when it comes to researching an item, either I don't care if it's for Amazon, if it's a hard lookup, you're doing a non-barcode book, or if it's on eBay and you can't find it and you think you can BS it off another revision or addition, your customers are going to notice that, especially in eBay land. But more importantly, there is a little thing, little shred of business ethics and morality that goes into our business. There are plenty of folks that ignore this morality or business ethics. But if you're listening to this podcast, we're assuming you're slightly above board. Slightly. Not much, but slightly. All right.
I got a silly one for you. The people that are like, I'm gonna reuse the packaging, so because I want to save the world for the customers, I think you should have boxes and poly mailers. I don't want to hear everybody in the comment section, right? Well, Mike, I'm saving the world by reusing my boxes and my bags and everything else. Give it up. Are we professionals? Do we have businesses? You can't afford going to buy a dollar per box. I mean, let's get real. The repackaging, especially on eBay land, it's got to go away. We purchased a lot of trading cards recently on eBay. You won't believe the types of packages you get from these people. It's just, you know, you never know what's going to show up on your doorstep. You know, I got one trading card and a 50-inch TV box. I got one trading card like duct tape like 30 times. Like it's absolute chaos. And we justify it as, well, I like recycling. Yeah, I'm saving the world. No, you're just being a cheap ass for no reason because boxes cost nothing. And if I'm buying something expensive, wasn't the case. I'm buying, you know, most expensive trading card I bought was like 30, 40 bucks from the set that we needed. So I'm not buying things expensive, but people do buy things that are really expensive and they get this Franken box. And the eBay seller thinks they're so cool because they got this, I did this Franken box or this golf club. And it's like, this is so ghetto. Like, come on. Like, I moved out of Philly. I don't want to be ghetto no more. Like, I left that life behind. But as resellers, you keep saving the world with your beat up boxes and think you're doing the world justice.
I got a semi-serious one and then a funny one here. If I have to Google your answer for you, I'm going to pull my hair out. You can Google the question before you ask it to a group. I promise you that. I see this in all groups, not just Mike's group. So please, for the love of God, take, I don't know, 10 to 15 seconds to figure out how to word your question, type up your question, hit the send in the Google search. Look at the top five research results. Maybe you'll find your answer before you waste, I don't know, everybody else's time but your own. Okay, my funny one. When you're conducting business, it is polite to keep your shirt on, especially when you're recording a YouTube video. And if you're in the book community, you know who I'm. Don't you do it, Mike? Don't you keep it on? Family friendly show here.
Oh man, I'm gonna have to blur this section out.
Oh man.
I got another one for you. So we're kind of talking about, you know, etiquette and doing things the right way. in the Amazon world, like doing more than what Amazon ask of you to do, it drives me nuts, right? So for those that don't sell on Amazon, when you list the item, it'll tell you if it needs a poly bag, if it needs to be bubble wrapped, if it needs hazardous, whatever it is. So if this says it doesn't need any of it, it's like we're getting sponsored by Samsung here because I'm just keep using my Samsung card here for examples. If Amazon don't require it, why are we doing it? If eBay doesn't require it, why? I know eBay don't require nothing, but if Amazon don't require it, why are we wasting time? If it doesn't need to be polypacked, if it doesn't need to be bubble wrapped, put it in the box, get it out the door. We literally just waste our time and lollygag around. If you're the person that's prepping things that don't need prep, good luck.
You don't always have to be the lowest price, and this applies in both realms. You can match the buy box if you're an Amazon. You don't have to play the penny game. You can go above the buy box and hope you get the buy box. And eBay land, you get a little bit more leeway, in my opinion, as long as you put the work into your listing. If you have a better listing, maybe you'll wait a little bit longer, but you'll get more money. So the rumor, well, not rumor, the general advice out in the public realm of internet says you must be the lowest price in order to sell your items. You're wrong.
I got a good one. If you are the person that spends all day at one thrift store or
Okay.
one Goodwill bins, you are a fool. Sooner or later, you are going to get burned. And when that happens, you got nothing. I keep trying to tell people because there's plenty of bigger YouTubers out there that resell that go to their one bin store and that's where they get everything from and they spend 8 hours a day there. What happens when that goes away? It's never going to go away, right? It's never going to go away, Johnny. Places don't close. Things that never happens, especially in today's economy. They would never, never close. Come on, let's get real here. This is not unless you have a legitimate supplier, right? That says, hey, we get this stuff all the time. You get it by the truckload, whatever it may be, whatever category you're in. Then I can see that working. But the people that just go to that one thrift store, that one Goodwill bins. You're a fool. It's going to get you sooner or later. And when it does, I don't want to hear no crying. I'm just going to laugh.
Me too. So when you plan for the worst case scenario, if you realize you're running out of shipping supplies, like you're down to your last 20, don't wait till you're down to one before you re-up your shipping supplies. Go ahead and overstock that kind of stuff. And that goes with everything, tape, boxes, dunnage. Your actual labels. There's been plenty of people. Oh, I'm on my last label. I gotta run down to Best Buy because I got 20 orders. If I've seen that happen, it's like, come on, you got the one job. You got the couple of jobs. Buy the item, list the item, ship the item. That and the little things that go along with it. And the little things will ruin your day if you're not prepared. Be prepared.
If you are the reseller that is impressed by sales, you gotta start thinking a little bit deeper than sales. I know we see it a lot. I just put a video out, $12,000 in sales in a month. But if you're the person that's, you see somebody that's like, oh my God, I'm doing $100,000 a month, and that like, you think to yourself like, yeah, that's how much they're making. If that kind of stuff impresses you. You're looking in the wrong spots because you don't even want to begin to know what they're actually making on the back end. Somebody like myself, if I sell 12,000, I got 6,000 coming to the bank account before any overhead or expenses. So we got to get away from this idea that sales means anything. And just because somebody has high sales doesn't mean they're good at what they do. It doesn't mean they even have the slightest clue. Me and Johnny can pony all of our money up right now and for the next month spend every dollar. And then all of a sudden, we can say, hey, we sold $100,000 in 1 month. We might have lost money because we probably spent 120, but it will sell, right? Especially if you're selling it at a loss. The numbers mean nothing. So if you're the person that when you see the flashy YouTube video and they really don't tell you how much they're making, but it's enough for you to click through because you see their sales and you continue, I'll straight up say, if you can continue to, support the shills out there in the reselling world when it comes to their sales numbers, you're never going to get nowhere because clearly they're not getting nowhere. And I'm not big on, I don't expect people to put like their full, money out there, right? Like I don't need to see Johnny's tax returns at the end of the year.
You're not
But
getting it.
if people just keep talking in sales numbers and they never even give me an inside look to how much is actually going into their business, you're a fraud. I'm out of here. And there's a lot of people, unfortunately, out there that, it is what it is. And I don't bother with that type of content. I don't want no parts of it because you literally it's a scam, dude. If somebody's brand new and they see, that somebody sold $25,000, and they only brought home $2,000 of that, like, I mean, come on, it's so scammy. Don't be that person.
If you're the type of person to go hook, line, and sinker on advice you're given, you're wrong. I don't care if it's me, it's Mike, it's Tech and Sports, it's all of them. But you don't take a second to think, does this apply to my business really? Or get a second or third or fourth or fifth opinion on that question before you just go off and do it. You will hurt yourself eventually. I'm sorry, but you will. There's stuff that even I say that may not apply to your business, but I'm saying it to other people who may. And I've heard people take advice of directed advice to somebody else and think it applies to them. And they're like, why didn't it work? Well, it wasn't directed at you. It's why it didn't work. So you need to take a second and evaluate your business with advice you're hearing, even if it's on a recording or you're hearing advice being given and it may not apply to you. So just take a minute, that's all I'm saying.
You are a fool reseller. I pity the fool if you are the reseller that takes offense to best offers, doesn't have it on eBay, and waits in line on Amazon for your item to sell because I know what I got. Price is firm. Yeah. You know what's not firm? Your bank account because there ain't no money going into it. It's probably going zeros across the board. You cannot be this way. I mean, come on. Why are we so? We paid a dollar for the item, Johnny. Why are we beat up about making 10 on it? Like, take the offer, take the money, and go. If it, the item sells slow on Amazon, don't wait in line. Be the lowest price. I know what you got. You know what you got. And I know you ain't got nothing until the item sells. So if it don't sell, you got nothing. You know what you got if you sell on eBay. You got a house full of stuff that's never going to sell. So yeah, you know what you got, all right? Because you look at it every single day.
Inventory rich, cash poor. I think I heard that from a gentleman named Tech and Sports a couple times. It's a common problem. Along those same lines, don't overbuy. If you buy so much you can't get through it and you continuously buy, you're never going to get through it because you haven't dealt with the current situation in front of you. Especially if you're an eBay person, it's so easy to overbuy there. And then you have the fabulous word we'd like to call a death pile. It's not a queue, it's a death pile. You overbought, especially if you continue to buy more, you're just avoiding the problem. So deal with what you got. And I'm not saying don't have, if the right deal comes along, don't pick it up. I'm not really saying that. But if you're a repeat offender of this, you got a problem. You need to stop. Maybe you need to go to a meeting. Maybe.
You brought up the topic of people that will just blindly like follow somebody,
Yes.
like follow their business model. I think it works the opposite way because I've had many situations, do a lot of coaching calls. A lot we've seen a lot of people come and go, right, Johnny? And I always thought
Oh,
about maybe we should have like almost like a digital graveyard, right? For
yeah.
when people come and go, and then we can write on their tombstone like why we think they went away, or if there's proof of it. Like if somebody
It's like on
decides,
their epitaph.
yeah.
Probably got hit by a bus, or they would be famous right now.
Yeah, or something like that where we know because they've been on the Zoom calls with us and maybe they wanted to do something and we kind of told them not to. I think there's a lot to be said in listening to what somebody who's done it experiences or like have dealt with that type of situation and not just thinking, you're going to be the unicorn of the group because if it's picked over stuff and you think it's still going to be good and you're getting it at a great price, me and Johnny have had multiple conversations with people and I've seen, I won't give names just in case they still are around and they're just lurking in the shadows. But I mean, we've told people not to do certain bulk pickups. They're brand new to reselling. They want to get, the Gaylords. And we've had multiple people. I don't know if Johnny can call them off his head, but I still know a few that have come and gone pretty fast. So listening to what people that have shown you results in the space and the category you're selling in, and not being afraid to ask the question about a situation and take their advice on some things, because it's happened to me. And I'll give a great example. A library pickup. A library across the way reached out to me and said, "Hey, you want to come pick up the books after the sale?" We used to have a guy that picks them up, and he's no longer doing it. So, side hustle experiment. YouTuber, we had him on the podcast. He used to do bulk books. He used to be that guy, right? So I texted him. I said, "Yo, what are the chances you used to be the book guy over there?" He's like, "Mike, I did that. Don't do it. It was a complete waste of time and money and effort." So, like, there are times when you just take somebody else's advice because they lived through it. Like, they're walking proof. They did that exact thing. And it saves you the headache because they did that exact thing. And it's crazy to me that we won't listen to some of the things that make sense, and we'll just fly by the seat of our pants and do whatever we want with no experience and just thinking that it's automatically you're just going to print money.
There's not enough gratitude that goes in our community. When people ask for advice or share detailed information, and even member to member, I very rarely see a thank you or I appreciate you or any of that, just basic humility. I try to say thank you when somebody gives me advice or I appreciate you or things along that. I'm not saying 100% of the time. There's probably a few times I missed that boat myself. But I'm in a lot of groups and I don't see it as often as I probably should, honestly. And I think gratitude goes a long way with folks. And I could probably count on one hand how many times in this group I've seen a thank you to Mike or myself. I don't really want a thank you from you guys, to be fair. But I'm just saying, yeah.
To make up for Johnny feeling underthanked, you guys can leave a 5-star review, whatever podcast platform you're listening, and just say thank you. Or if you're on YouTube, you can just say thank you in the comments section. So Johnny can come one night when he's underthanked and see all of the thank yous, and he will feel better
I
about
don't want
himself.
to thank you, but you should be thanked more than you are, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, but it is what it is. I know people appreciate it on
I
the
know you're
bad
taking their
day.
money too, but they should still thank you.
I take their shekels, you know, like I got my hat, I pull off, I do a little trick, and I put some coins in there. So let me see, what can I really offend resellers with? If your bank account ain't going up, you're not making money at the end of the day. I think a lot of us get caught up with reselling and all the money just disappears. If you're the reseller that doesn't have a business plan, doesn't understand the profit and loss statement of your business, you're a fool. It might work today that you got 20 bucks in your account. But this is not sustainable by any way, shape, or form. This is a business. So if you're the fool that just thinks reselling is just reselling and it's cool and you just hang out and like it is what it is, like, yeah, cool. Yeah, I make money. I make lots of money reselling. Are you really making money reselling? That's the question, you know, we all got to ask ourselves at the end of the day. And I'm thankful that I'm around the people that actually have growing bank accounts, because we talked about earlier, sales mean nothing. Even if it's 20 bucks a week, 40 bucks a week, your bank account's going up, it's going up. Then you could say you're making money, right? You're probably making a lot more than some of the people out there that act like they are.
I had one and I lost it here. Let's see here. When you are, oh, there it is. Having a plan for, I don't care if it's for the week. I don't care if it's for the month or cares for the year. These are, I guess you can call them goals. I don't care if you're a hobbyist, a part-timer, or a full-timer. You have to know where you're going throughout the course of the journey. We'll call it a journey, I guess, or career if you prefer that. Because if you don't have that, and it's similar to what he was just saying, you're just flying by the seat of your pants, then you can't expect to grow. You can't expect to know when you need to hold back your money or invest money or buy equipment, or when's the time to get a warehouse or employee, or maybe I'll try a Gaylord, maybe I'm ready for that and it's not month one. Don't do it in month one. You gotta think things out. Like, what's your business plan? Even if you're a hobbyist, you gotta have a hobbyist level business plan, at least maybe some bullet points.
I hope you got another one, because mine's going to be quick and straight to the point, and it's funny. If you're the reseller that puts candy in your orders, you're an idiot.
Always send thank you notes with not candy in with your items.
Oh man, that was too easy. That should have been my first one, honestly, because
Oh,
it just rubs me the wrong way completely. And listen, who just takes candies from strangers anyway, right? Like,
especially in a random package.
yeah, off eBay. Like, I probably trust the guy out on the corner giving me a piece of candy more than the eBay package coming in that's just got random candy in it. If you are the reseller that, let me see. I don't have many times to offend people, dude. Like, I feel like I should have planned this one further out so I could have like a long list because you know me, I'm like the good
Yeah,
guy
I
here,
mean, we
good
don't
cop,
script
bad
any of
cop.
this, but maybe we should have scripted this one.
I know you can offend lots of people, but me, like,
Easily. I
this is
did.
the
I told them they
one.
don't say thank you enough. I've offended everybody who's listening to this right now. Every.
You're this is right up your wheelhouse. I don't get this opportunity, so I gotta like take advantage of it, right? It's crazy to me. If you are offended by how another reseller runs their business, then you're not gonna make it, right? Or if you're offended by somebody else's numbers compared to yours, you're never gonna make it. And I learned that quick because when I started YouTube and even reselling, I was always comparing myself, right? Like, oh, how many subs does this reseller have, you know, that's in like the same category as me? Like, or how many sales does this person have that's selling books as well? And I learned fast that that's just toxicity. You're never gonna like, you're always gonna be somebody else, right? Like, sooner or later you get to the line and I'm never gonna be Mr. Beast of reselling, you know? Like, and if I'm always offended by Johnny having more sales than me, I'm just gonna be miserable and I'm just gonna be pissed off at Johnny. Good for him. Like, I celebrate other people doing better than me, then more than I probably should, because hey, why am I not making the money Johnny's making? But at the end of the day, you can't be offended by other people's businesses and what they got going on. And if it's working and it doesn't work for you, so be it, right? Like, I mean, we can offend people right now and say Whatnot's a waste of time, right? Like, but there's people out there cr crushing it on Whatnot. And I probably just stole that from Johnny because I'm surprised he didn't lead with how much disdain he has for Whatnot, but
I'm
it's
saving
working
for the
for you.
end, but you ruined it for me.
Yeah, if it's working, if you're the person out there on Whatnot right now that's making decent money and not, you know, giving your life away to sit there all day and show off your trinkets and sell them for, you know, less than market value, so be it. But don't get offended just because somebody has a different business model.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're crushing and whatnot, more power to you. If you're offended by directness and or you need constant emotional support therapy style, this ain't the business for you. And I will offend you over and over again, maybe intentionally sometimes. But we are business people. It's what's the problem? Here's the answer. I'm not going to say, well, you really need to think about doing this. Bless your sweetheart. I'm not going to do any of that. You got a problem, I'm going to tell you how to do it. If you're not listening, I'm going to regurgitate it in less complicated words to try to get my point across. If you don't get it a third time or you're starting to cry, I'm kind of done with you and I'm moving on with my day.
I think this kind of leads into the one I have. If you're the reseller that needs your hand held,
Oh,
you're not
yes.
going to make it. Listen, you know what happens? Like, I'll get multiple messages from the same person. I'm like Johnny, right? I'll entertain it, and then I get to a point where I just stop responding altogether. And then it's like, well, you're either going to sink or you're going to swim. Unfortunately, they probably just find somebody else to ask the questions to. But I mean, I'm all for helping people. You got to help yourself before me, Johnny, Tech, any of these YouTubers can help you, because at the end of the day, it all boils down to you. This is a double whammy because it's on the top of my head. You're the full reseller if you're hiring people and you ain't making no type of serious money right now. And I mean, we're so fast to hire people anymore. And I think the longer you can put that off, even if you have kind of like the business plan Johnny has, where he wants to, you know, have a little mini empire down there, he's kind of put himself back in a situation where he doesn't have somebody, and he's going to reap the benefits here over the next for the rest of the year.
Oh, yeah.
And when the time comes, he'll definitely need the person, but I guarantee you the results are rolling in and him being by himself, he's going to think to himself, okay, well, I can do this on my own. It's just how much more value. But that's not the case. We're always so fast. Like, I'm going to hire a VA to do my drafts on eBay. I'm going to hire a VA to do this, or I'm going to hire somebody to scan the Gaylords, or I'm going to. If you could do it yourself, let's be real here. You can hire somebody. I'm all for people hiring when they need it and it makes sense in the business. But that's literally a tiny percentage of the, especially when I hear people, I'm going to hire somebody. I'm like, well, what are you doing on Saturdays? What are you doing on Sundays? What are you doing after 5 o'clock? Like, if you really want this, then let's go. Let's buckle up. Let's get it done.
So, if you're the type of person that buys the stuff and never lists the stuff or boxes the stuff, quit. That's it. Just quit. Stop it. And especially if you're in a group, you're not even going to make the group money for the year because you are not doing any work. This kind of goes into hand holding, but this goes into the if you're the laziest, not motivated to do this thing, and you're even treating it less than a hobby, quit. I'm sorry. You're not cut out for this. If it's one of those things you thought you'd try and then you halfway tried and never completed, quit.
All right, we're going to switch pace here. No more reselling topics, but we still want to offend people.
Okay.
If you eat pineapple pizza, we can't be friends. And I don't know what's wrong with you, but you're not a real reseller. If you eat pineapple pizza, you are not a real reseller.
If you're an Apple user and you don't use Windows, I can't be friends with you, or and I could barely associate with you. I'm sorry, PC's better.
That's way above my pay grade. My mind is like so confused now. You're an Apple user that doesn't use like Windows. Okay. Well, Deb's an Apple user, but she also can run Windows on her Mac. So I guess she gets a pass.
I will give her a pass if she's using Windows on the Mac.
You suck at reselling if you drive with 2 feet.
Really, that's yours? Okay. You suck at reselling if you don't hold the door open for old ladies.
That's a good one. You suck at reselling if you hold the first spot at an estate sale or like library sale, and then 2 minutes before it opens, your whole family comes out the car to get in the first spot
Oh,
with
that's
you.
a dick move.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. You suck at reselling if you tip somebody's card over at some kind of thrift sale, library sale, or whatever, and then you run off to grab what you want.
You suck at reselling if you test every CD and DVD you sell.
Oh man, you suck at reselling if you don't clean up your mess. You don't even sweep the floor. Books are dirty.
My storage unit's a mess, so I'm probably teetering on the brink of sucking at reselling the way my storage unit is right now.
You got an outside unit, you get a kind of pass there, but if you're not doing the storage unit life and you're not cleaning up your home or your garage or your warehouse, you're doing it wrong. I'm sorry. Actually, I'm
Sucker.
not. I'm not sorry.
I got a good one. You suck at reselling if you need to use credit cards to buy inventory.
That's a good one. Similar to this, you suck at reselling if you do not bring cash with you and extra cash on top of that. For, well, look what just in front of me right here, right now, and it could be a missed opportunity if you don't have the cash.
Trying to think what else is there out there that's like really big topics that offend people that aren't reselling related. Like, what's a controversial topic?
Unlist,
You suck at reselling if you think cross-listing is going to save your business.
oh man, oh that's a good one. You think you suck at reselling if you will list enough and will eventually be profitable. If you aren't profitable from the get-go, you ain't gonna be unprofitable with 100,000 of those items.
Wave my magic wand, Johnny. I'm gonna be rich
It's
once I
like
get
Tinkerbell. If I clap my hands enough and believe, I'll win.
It's so true. It's so true. It's like, well, once I get the 5,000 listings, though, The switch is going to get flipped on, and I'm all of a sudden going to be printing money in the basement.
I'm just waiting for that Oprah Winfrey announcement and then the all sell.
I don't know. You got another one? Keep going. I'm trying to think of something.
If you don't have a route for your sourcing, you kind of suck and you need to get one. There's something to be said by stopping for a garage sale or estate sale just because you saw a sign. I'm not really counting that, but I'm counting you have planned to go sourcing for the day, you get up and you have no idea where you're going, and you're now wasting time.
Yeah, that's a good one. You suck at reselling. If Amazon sellers, I'm coming for you, and I don't even care, and I'll probably offend 90% of people in my group, but so be it. You suck at reselling on Amazon, used media, if you do any conditions other than good.
Oh, I got one for Amazon people too. You suck at reselling if you're taking your used book and cutting out the end page with somebody's signature in and selling it as new.
That exists out there.
Calling you out. You suck.
Yeah, I agree. You suck at reselling if you don't like the Halloween horror franchise. I don't.
This is true. I'm not even going to argue with it, but I'm squinting at you.
That's
I
fair.
agree. You suck at reselling if you don't pay your taxes.
Yeah, that's a good one, dude. That should have been an early,
Yeah, I forgot about that one. But yeah, you suck and are probably going to jail if you're not paying your reselling taxes.
Yeah, especially if you're one of these peasants that makes under the limit and you just don't report it because you think you're Slick Rick and oh, I don't gotta report it. Yeah, blah blah blah. Yeah, you're a loser. I agree with that fully. Like, I can't even. That's the biggest one. I hope that offends everybody out there who doesn't do $20,000 a month. Listen, I don't care that you don't make the money. It's legal. You could literally, if they decide to audit you, even though you did under 20K, and they get eBay reports, they get Amazon reports, do things. It's what you said. Keep things above the line here. Do things the right way. I don't do 20K a year on eBay, but I still report it, right? I'm not taking no risk. And then when it happens, I don't want to hear nothing about it. Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, maybe we end it there. I think we're going to end it there. I think that was the best one of the whole episode. If you don't pay your taxes, because listen, anybody over the limit has to pay, right, Johnny? Because you get 1099. So this is, I mean, you probably
They
offended
both
everybody.
1099 or 10 whatever K the report is. Yeah.
But if you don't do it, if you don't hit the thresholds, then you don't get one. So you're offending all those people, and there's a lot of them out there that don't pay their taxes because they don't do the $20,000 in sales. And listen, I know I don't want the IRS more involved, but I do things 100% above line. So if they want to hire 50 million IRS agents, it doesn't matter because I got receipts to prove my write-offs. So if you're the person that's like, well, man, the government's taking everything, well, then you just suck at business, honestly, because you should have write-offs, especially if you're part-time, especially if you're not doing 20K a year. You should easily be able to wipe out that tax burden. So yeah, you suck. You're a loser. Anyway, thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting Johnny. Thank you, Johnny, for being a podcast co-host with
Oh,
me.
thank you, Mike. Thank you.
I know, dude. See, I'm not that mean and
I gotta
evil.
thank you for Mike. My day is made.
Oh my God. All right, we'll talk to you all in next week's episode.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.